Welcome to the Person and the Power podcast with Pastor Tim Johnson, as he invites us to cultivate a deep and profound relationship with the Holy Spirit of the living and loving God. After 25 years of ministry, Pastor Tim's desire is that all of us would experience both the Spirit's transformational intimacy and the supernatural activity in our daily lives. Now, here's Pastor Tim.
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon and good evening. Welcome back. Cotter? Anybody remember that? Welcome back. Anybody remember that show? Welcome back, Cotter. K-O-T-T-E-R. Is that right? You remember that? I know. That took a turn that you didn't expect. See, this is why you tune into this podcast, because you never know what's going to happen. Hey, welcome back to the Person and the Power podcast. Gabe Kaplan, is that right? And then remember, he was a teacher with a really big afro, and this white dude with an afro with a urban kind of classroom. And yeah, I still remember the song. I think I used to watch that quite a bit. All right, we're done with that. I will tell you that this podcast will cover a whole range of things. I think we're going to cover about three different things today. But welcome back to the podcast on the Person and the Power of the Holy Spirit. Appreciate you tuning in, and thank you so much for always supporting those who listen in. I really don't know who listens in, but thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for your texts, those who text, those who somehow or another, you let me know that you've listened, and you somehow, hopefully, you've been blessed. So I hope and pray. I really do. I do. I do. I pray before this every podcast, and I pray, not just say it, but actually pray that whoever's listening is actually well, physically well, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, of course. And I also pray that you're filled with the Holy Spirit. So every podcast, I pray, Lord, whoever's listening this time, same old regulars or brand new person, whatever the case, just pray that they are well and they are filled. So hope and pray that is the case for you. So, hey, I want to jump in. We're going to pray. And there's three very separate things we're going to talk about here in just a moment. And it's kind of cool because I listen to Kerry Newhoff podcast from time to time. He's Canadian, I believe. And he is a pastor, but also a church strategist. He looks at all the, so many different issues from AI to culture to how to preach, to leadership. It really is a leadership podcast more than anything, but it's really good. I don't listen to it all the time, but I do watch it and listen to it. It's an audio visual podcast. But again, Kerry Newhoff, think of the weirdest way you can spell Newhoff, and then that's it. So, but he had one this past week that really kind of challenged me. So we'll get to that here in just a second. But right now, let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. Thank you for the time that we have here in this podcast. Thank you for the 25 minutes, almost on the dot, right? Maybe right at 26 because I pushed the 25 mark as far as I can. So, Father, just trust and pray that in this time and in this this space that we draw closer to you, we are filled more by you, and we are drawn more, we're made more like you, so that we can be a witness to the world in which we live, whatever that world looks like. And so we ask and pray that you would bless, encourage us, and challenge us. The very first thing we start with will be a challenge. And so ask and pray your blessings, and we truly do thank you for your word. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for your grace and your love, and we thank you for your salvation. So we ask and pray that we never, ever take a moment with you and from you for granted. And may we continue to walk this out in all that, in all the fullness, in all the fullness. We love you. We thank you. We trust you. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the gala, Joshua Center Gala, is next Thursday, August 27th. I don't remember where it's at. I know exactly where it's at. I just don't know the name of it now. But check it out, joshuacenter.org. Some really big stuff's going to happen. We're going to make some announcements. And so this is where the Kerry Newhoff podcast comes in. And so my podcast usually is just follows the it's a very linear podcast. My podcast is linear. You know what linear means? It's following a line, one line. And that line is the story of Scripture. I'll take, just like in Acts 10, or Acts 10, that's why I'm preaching, in the book of Acts, now we're in Acts 5, we're just following basically verse by verse, passage by passage, idea by idea, and that's how we're doing the podcast. It's my 99.9% of my podcasts are linear. Every now and then, you'll get a little bit more where they're not. They maybe it's compartmental where there's three sections of the podcast, and all three are very, very different. They're not connected in any way, so you can't draw a line. You have to stop, and that's it. It stops, and so today will be a little bit more that way. You could draw a line if we wanted to, but we really don't need to because I think they are three separate things. So Kerry Newhoff's podcasts are similar to that. They're not linear. Mine are linear. His are not. He will have the same guest on, and he will interview that guest almost always. And then that guest, they'll talk about three different topics usually, or something, you know, something to that degree, two or three or four different topics in the 45-minute podcast. See how lucky you are? I do 25 minutes. Many podcasts, I find out, are 45 minutes, an hour or more. Yeah. So I do 25 on the dot. If you look back, I'm looking at my list of them. Now, again, 25:59, 25:59, 25:45, 25:59. So I push it past 25, but it's right at 25:26. So anyway, with that said, Joshua Center is the gala. Third gala that we've had is this coming Thursday, August 27th. Check it out, joshuacenter.org. We're going to lay out a vision. And I love what I heard from Kerry Newhoff's podcast this past week. I think it was Monday or Tuesday. And I'm just going to give you the quote. People don't follow a vision because of resources. People don't follow a vision because of resources. And in fact, I think the quote is, people don't rise to a vision because of resources. They rise to the vision because of the challenge, because of the bigness of it. Just because you don't have resources to accomplish the vision, the resources of money, people, things like that, that doesn't determine how people rise. So those are all limited, right? The limit there is a building project, for instance, is going to cost a certain amount of money. A church plant is going to require a certain amount of people. So that number is important, but it doesn't set the vision. The vision is set by this high bar of supernaturalism, Holy Spiritism, and what God would say to do. The vision is set based on, or people follow the vision, and they rise to the vision based on the degree of impossibility, almost to the point of, this is what we want to. We believe this is that. We believe this is the vision that is just so high and so out there, and so it's almost impossible without God. And so they rise to the degree of the supernaturalness of the vision. We're going to cast the vision next Thursday night. And it's a big one. And I want to invite you to just think about it and pray about it. If you're part of the Joshua Center, you're part of this podcast, we still have room for you. All the tables are sponsored, but not all the tables are filled, if that makes sense. Some people have bought tables, and we still have some people. There's still some spaces at tables. We'd love to have you there. And if you're not there, that's okay. We'd love to invest, though, and we invite you to kind of learn about the vision. It's a big one. And I'm excited. And I just want to invite you to pray about it. Tune in next Friday with the podcast. I'm sure I'll say something about it because it will be, well, the day after the gala. And so I invite you to just think about, and it will be known on social media. It will be known pretty clearly and pretty quickly what that vision looks like and what that vision is. So I just invite us to really be praying and thinking about how we're going to go, how you might be a part of something that we think is pretty darn important. We've seen God move in the Joshua Center, my goodness, for years. And exponentially, it's increased. The anointing of the Joshua Center has exponentially increased. For those who have been a part of the Joshua Center for years and years and years, from the beginning, from the inception, they would be able to tell you the same thing, that each year the Joshua Center has just grown in anointing. This is going to be a huge step, and it's a huge vision. So, I'm excited. We're excited. So invite you to think about that and pray through that with us. So, all right, that's topic number one. So let's move on to topic number two. And again, that comes with kind of a phrase. But so we've had a whole bunch of tree damage here in this area. Storm after storm. We've had wind damage a week or so ago. Some people think that there may have been shear winds, whatever it's called. But there, you know, the kind of winds that just do a lot of damage. Some people may believe, actually here in the church, believe that there may have been a small tornado. Whatever the case, if you drive by our house and the church right now, we are right across from the road from each other on Fermer Chapel Road, then you'll see all kinds of limbs and huge limbs. Whole trees have fallen, including one on the church. After this podcast, I'll be going to an ad board meeting to talk about the damage that's done to the church, and we'll be looking at insurance and all that. So, but this one tree that was in the grove, we've been talking about this tree for a long, long time. It's been dead and dying for a while. And so we knew it was going to have to come down. So a windstorm came through a couple weeks ago, and a huge branch came down. And just, if somebody's down in that grove, which we do have people in that grove, it was going to do some serious damage to them, and maybe even serious damage. So we had already pegged it for bringing down. But then this other tree fell on the other side of the church, did the damage. Basically, we've had three or four trees that have either done damage or have had to be taken down somehow or another. And this large tree in the middle was taken down, and in fact, there's a little video about it associated with the Joshua Center, but there's a little video on Facebook if you want to see it. But our logger, our timberer, our timber man, Artie, A-R-T-Y, not his, I think that's his, that's why he goes by. But he, great guy, and out of Elizabeth, Indiana, I think they do great work. So the tree's down, the tree's been felled, and right perfect where it needs to fall. You know, he's done this a time or two. But then you see this pretty good stump. I mean, it's not just a little stump. If you think stump, you think maybe a foot off the ground. We're talking like 4 foot off the ground, okay? But you start seeing him go to take the chainsaw to it. I wish I could give you a visual. He chainsaws across. And there's still a pretty like 2 foot of stump. And then from that 2 foot is another 2 foot of a cross out of that stump. It's pretty sweet. I gotta tell you, it's pretty sweet. So I'm watching him. We're watching him kind of make, and finally it was Michael Walker, our associate pastor. He leans over, he's making a cross. I said, no. I said, he is. So sure enough, there's a cross, and it is just so sweet. And as I'm watching this, I hear the Holy Spirit clearly say a phrase, clearly. From chaos comes the cross. From chaos comes the cross. Chaos of all the trees around us, chaos of all the trees breaking and doing damage. But from the chaos, from the chaos comes the cross. Think of Jesus. Think of the cross. Think of the life that he lived here on this earth. Think of the sin that he delivered us from. Think of the chaos of your own sin. But from that chaos comes the cross. And I just love the fact that, and he says, well, I don't really go to church, but I'm a man of faith, and I'm an Artie fan. I could have me some more Artie. I love him. And we talked, and he sent me a couple of texts. I sent him some texts back. It was just one of those beautiful moments. Really, truly, I think a God moment. I think a lot of times we ascribe God moments to God that may or may not be. I don't know. Not every moment is a God moment, right? God is not, he is sovereign, but he is not in charge of everything. There's a real difference. And I know. There's a lot of people who want to put God in charge of everything. He's not in charge of everything. If he's in charge of everything, we got a really sadistic God. Seriously, we really do. And he does not pair up with the Bible. He doesn't at all. So this is a good God and a gracious God, a loving God, a God who is good all the time. All the time, God is good, right? And it's amazing how we say that and we don't believe it, right? We say that and we don't live it. We say that and our theology doesn't match it. But already did this cross for us, and he's going to come back and clean the rest of the logs, it sounds like, before Sunday. But it was just such a beautiful, if you have a chance, if you live in the area, drive by and just stop, pull over to the side there and just look in the grove, and you'll see the cross out of the stump. You'll see from chaos comes the cross. You'll see it, and it's pretty, pretty sweet. And so, yeah, we had a great conversation, unexpected, but beautiful. So there you go. Topic number two. Moving on to now topic number three. So we'll have 10 minutes, and that'll be good. We'll have 10 minutes to talk about Acts, the little chunk of Acts 5 that we're going to look at. So let me read it for us, the NIV. It's only about five verses. It is there's a couple of different epilogues to the story of Ananias and Sapphira that we covered last week. This is one of them, and it's verses 12 through 16 in Acts 5. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people. And all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. No one else dared join them, even though they were highly regarded by the people. Nevertheless, more and more men and women believed in the Lord and were added to their number. Seems like a contradiction. No one dared join them, but more and more people joined them. So we'll talk about that. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. Crowds gathered also from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Good stuff here. My gosh, and you know, I think we can cover it in 10 minutes. So first, I just want you to see that what you see there is out of that moment of Ananias and Sapphira, their signs and wonders. So not only was there purity, remember last week we kind of talked about purity. We'll talk about purity again this week. But out of purity, ain't going to be no lying in the church, right, came power. The apostles performed many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers used to meet together in Solomon's colonnade. I want to say this, you look back at Gideon, we just had this class at the Joshua Center, we talked about signs and wonders, we talked about Gideon, the fleece, you know, before that he went to battle with the Midianites, he put the fleece out, you know, put the fleece out again, dry, wet, dry, the ground wet, fleece dry, vice versa, the next day, whatever. He was looking for signs. The problem with that is he already had seven signs before that. In fact, he had met the living Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ he had met. And then he's still asking for signs. I really can say this. In the last 10 to 12 years, your podcaster, your pastor, your friend, your brother in Christ has not asked for a single sign that I can remember. I've asked for a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. I've asked that I have more discernment. I ask that I hear his voice clearer. I ask that I'm drawn nearer to the Lord. I ask that I understand the Word of God better. I don't remember the last 10 to 12 times, 10 to 12 years that I remember asking for a sign or a wonder. Now, if God gives me a sign and a wonder, great, but I don't ask for them. I think those of immature faith have to rely on signs and wonders, but we're supposed to mature in our faith, right? Now, signs and wonders were happening in the early church because that's how it was drawing unbelievers. The church was being drawn by its purity and by its power, all right? And that's really important here. We'll get to that in just a moment. There's two big thoughts here, but let me clear this up. No one dared join them, but many people were added to their name, to the number. No one joined them, but everyone joined them. So obviously there's two groups here we're talking about. The no one dared join them were those who were outside the faith, the Gentiles who had not come into Christ yet, even the Jewish people, and they were scared because of the Ananias Sapphira moment. They were scared, but yet even then they realized that something mystical was happening. I don't know if they would understand that something spiritual was happening, but something mystical was happening. A lot of New Age is not old, right? New Age is old. New Age has been around for almost the turn of the century. or for the turn of the century, from the beginning. I don't know what I'm saying, but New Age has been around from the beginning. And so there's mysticism in these things as much as there is spirit, Holy Spirit. So that's why that the people who did come to Christ were added. So there are many people. The church grew. But even among the church growing, there were still people outside the church who dared not join in because they were scared. And so you see that. You have people all the time who are scared of coming to church. They come in and they say, well, I can't go to church. Lightning will strike. Or they do come to church and they say, what? Well, the church didn't fall in. And so there are people who are actually fearful of the church. They're fearful of God. They are in a way that they can't come to him. And yet they see the church. They highly regard the church. But what I'm saying? So we see this happening right here. That's kind of explains that. So here's the two kind of big thoughts. The first one, let me go here, shadow. This crazy, crazy thing. I love this idea of the shadow. We always love the supernatural stuff, We always love. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets, laid them on beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow might fall upon them as he passed by. Shadows. In the ancient culture, there were two very, very, very clear understandings of and very opposite understandings of shadows. The first, the shadow represented dark. It represented in ancient India, ancient China, ancient Japan, in like Shinto beliefs. Shadows, they were like they were tied between the boundaries of the living and the dead. And in fact, they were wandering spirits attached. So a shadow many times was a spirit attached to the person. So even though I would walk in the sun, even though I would make rabbit images on the sidewalk or the wall, shadow puppets, even though I could, every time I moved, the shadow moved. There were a lot of Taoists and Hindu and a lot of different belief systems, in ancient Israel at the time as well, in that ancient culture, that believed that shadows were evil, they were dark, and that they had power, and that they were connected somehow with another world. Okay, so here you've got this superstition being used for healing. It doesn't say that Peter's shadow healed anything. It didn't say that. They laid him in front so that at least Peter's shadow might fall on some. But what I do believe, now it does say that crowds gathered and bringing the sick and those tormented by impurities, and all of them were healed. So now how were they healed? We don't really know. Were they prayed? Were they prayed for? Were they anointed? Yes, I'm sure. We don't know if Peter's shadow healed anybody. We just really know that. We can assume maybe it did. But if it did, if Peter's shadow, it did two things. Number one, it blew apart this superstition that shadows are evil, but it also reflected the fact that there's a purity about people associated with God. In fact, it isn't interesting. Look. All the way back in Genesis. If I can get my computer to work here. In Genesis 1, look at this. I've said this before, but in Genesis 1, 26, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. There's that word likeness. That word likeness and image, well, actually the word image, it's the Hebrew word teslem, T-S-E-L-E-M, teslem. It means shadow. Yeah, it means shadow. We're made in God's shadow. We're made in God's shadow. And so the shadow of God is the Spirit of God. See, the Spirit of God and the shadow of God are the same. And in this sense right here, in this moment, there's this superstition that all shadows are evil, right? All shadows are evil. But no. This is like the fact that God is operating even in the midst of the shadows, even in the midst of what we think is dark. God's light, God's power is being made manifest. I want to end with this, and we just got a couple of minutes here, but I want to end with this. I want to read this quote. It's a little bit longer quote, but it's really, really good. I just think it's just so powerful to hear. And again, this is, again, from the book I'm reading, G. Campbell Morgan, The Acts of the Apostles. It says this, understanding that it was the same power, right, that operated in all of this. So the same power that we see Ananias and Sapphira, we see all the things happening. It's the same power. And listen to this. This is this great quote. The church pure is the church powerful. Come on, look at that. The church pure is the church powerful. Go back over her history and see how true that is. It has always been so. Mathematics have no place in the economy of God. Numbers are nothing. Quality is everything. But the church spirit-filled is the church pure. The only power equal to making a church pure is that of the indwelling Spirit of God. And the last thing is, the church obedient is the church spirit-filled. See how the progression works? The church pure is the church powerful. The church spirit-filled is the church pure. The church obedient is the church spirit-filled. In proportion as she is obedient to the light she has, she is filled not once and forever, but perpetually with the eternal inrush of the Spirit. It goes on to talk about the living water, and we don't have time, but I've talked about the flow of the Sea of Galilee versus the not the flow of the Dead Sea. The reason things are dead in the Dead Sea is because there's no flow out. There's flow in, there's no flow out. The reason that the Sea of Galilee teems with life is because there's a flow in and there's a flow out. The church must be filled by the Spirit, he says, for it to be pure. The church must be filled with the Spirit for the church to be powerful. Come on. A church pure is the church powerful. A church powerful is the church Spirit-filled. A church Spirit-filled is a church obedient. Come on. Good stuff. All right. Enjoy the rest of chapter 5. We'll jump into the rest of it next week, I'm sure, with an update from the gala. Be blessed. Be spirit-filled.
Pastor Tim is the co-founder and teaching director of the Joshua Center, a leadership training ministry which provides deep biblical roots to great movements of God. He's also the senior pastor of Frimmer's Chapel, a country church by a creek reaching 13 countries on 4 different continents for Jesus and his kingdom. Join us next time as we grow deeper in the person and the power.